Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Good to have you today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Wow. Everybody had a good week this last week? Praise the Lord. Did you go out and produce any fruit for the kingdom? I'll tell you what, after that sermon last Sunday, if you didn't go produce fruit, your wood's wet. You need to do something good for the kingdom. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Talking about producing fruit, I'm going to let Carrie, she's got a little more testimony I want her to give. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. Now we got
praise the Lord. Well, I told you all about going to pray for my husband's cousin, Rhonda, that was in hospice. They gave her like 2 weeks to live. When we got there, she only had 1 week. And so when I looked at her, I was really just overwhelmed. I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And the Lord spoke to me very profound. And he said, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. She is not dead yet. So he encouraged me to pray in faith. And this has been probably almost 2 months now. And I called her mom to check on her yesterday. And her mom said that she and her husband had gone over next door to some friend's house and with like three other couples and had dinner. So not only is she out of hospice, but she's out going to dinner and doing stuff for the Lord. Praise God. He's so good. So I'm just so excited about the Lord. And now I just don't want to feel despair about anybody that I pray about. I'm like, Lord, help my heart not to be in despair and to be encouraged to pray your word regardless of the situation. Jesus' name.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Wow, that's something, isn't it? I love what the Lord spoke to Carrie's heart there whenever she went down and her husband's cousin only had 2 weeks left to live. You know, when you see somebody that only has 2 weeks left to live in hospice, that they usually look pretty bad. And so, of course, the first thing we always do, we look at this and think, oh my goodness, what am I doing here? Well, let me tell you, it ain't you. You've got to remember that. It's not you, it's Jesus. So the Lord, whenever Miss Carrie looked over at her husband's cousin and saw what she saw, immediately in her heart, her faith fell. Because she knew that this woman is just a week now, when y'all got there, she's only a week left to live. And she looked awful. And she's sitting there looking at that and her faith is just going away. I know, I've been there and done that several times in my life. I know exactly what she's going through. But then when the Lord shows up and says, Carrie, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days. This woman's still alive. In other words, what he's trying to tell you, Miss Carrie, this is all a piece of cake for me. You know, as long as he's in there, he's with you, all you got to do is do something in faith. And when you and your husband prayed for your husband's cousin in faith, then within, it wasn't just a few days, she was out of hospice, right? Kicked her. Amen. Because you know when you can get up and run around and eat and everything, you ain't supposed to be in hospice, right? You ruin everything in hospice. Oh my goodness gracious, I think about that. So wow, what a testimony. It's so wonderful. And now it's been a couple of months. And she's just out having dinner with people or friends and just, do you know, we should never underestimate the power of the Lord. When he says pray about everything with thanksgiving, we ought to pray about everything. In fact, I've got a little short testimony right quick. There's one of the gentlemen that I know. This last week, he had a motorhome, and he wanted to sell it. And so when he did, he came to me and said, Thurman, I posted that on Craigslist, and I need to sell it. I said, well, have you prayed about it? And what do you think he said? No, I have not. I said, well, you know, the Lord did say, pray about everything with thanksgiving, did he not? Yes. If that's what he said. So I said, let me pray for you to sell it. I said, when do you want to sell it? He said, today. Okay, well, now that's really putting God to the test, you know. Is it anything hard for God?
No.
Now it was 12:30 when he come by. 12:30 when he come by my office and said, I want you to, you know, told me about this motorhome he wanted to sell. That's when I asked him, have you prayed? And he says, no, I have not. But he said, I do know the scripture says to do that, but I haven't done it yet. I said, so Father, in the name of Jesus, let him sell this motorhome today. I said, Lord, thank you. I said, I want you to say, thank you, Lord, for selling my motorhome today. He said, Lord, thank you for selling my motorhome today. And he walked out of my office at 12:30. He come busting back in there at 2 o'clock with the cash in his hands at Thurman. I've sold it and I already got the money. He said, prayer really works. Tony, does prayer really work? All the time. When you pray in faith, it always... Why do you think God told us to to pray about everything? Did you know that you limit God when you don't pray? He can't do nothing. He cannot answer a prayer you do not pray. Isn't that something? We just go through life thinking, well, if it's God's will, he'll do this for me or, you know, whatever. No, if you want him to do something, ask him. And, you know, just like he said in Hebrews 4:16, come whimpily into the... Oh, that's not what he said, Carrie? What did he say then? Oh, as a daughter, now you can sure come boldly into the throne room, can you not, girl? After you've experienced a few of these things with God, and you've seen the Lord do a few of these kind of things, you get to where you can come boldly into the throne room of God. And when you, I mean, when the enemy throws something on you, say, but remember, you're that unworthy piece of trash. You remember those sins? You remember all those sins you did, maybe even last week or week before last. You know, you just have to remember, remind him, devil, that old boy that used to do those kind of things, he died. I killed him. Jesus killed him. So he died. So now then I'm alive to Christ. And I'm going to be pure and holy and I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word. So I'm not going to listen to you, devil. I'm going to listen to the word of God. Amen. Wow. Anybody else got a testimony you want to tell today before we go on? Oh, okay, honey.
We had a lady from Ireland email us and say that there was a lady in Romania, and I told you about her, that she'd had the wrong blood given to her in the hospital, and it made her go into a coma, and it made all her organs shut down. The lady wrote us this weekend and said that after 7 days in a coma, that she came out of it, and now she's up, sitting up, and ready to get out of the hospital.
Amen. Wow. Does God answer prayer? What if you, I mean, it all depends on where. I remember when we prayed for that lady. You know, I thought, wow, you know, somebody gave her the wrong blood and now she's going to die. She's already comatose and she's going to die. And I thought, you know, if I were to get on an airplane and fly over there and if I was the best doctor in the world, I couldn't help her. But I can be laying right there in my bed that night. Maybe we were in your office that night we prayed for her. I don't remember. We prayed for so many different places. All depends on how tired I am. Sometimes, you know, we're in Cheryl's office, and we, like last night, we were there till I think 1 o'clock, something like that. And I finally told her, I said, you know, I've had it. My flesh wants to go lay down. So, of course, you know, I'm kind of like some other people. When I get in bed sometimes and I lay down sometimes, if she don't get me some information to pray for pretty quick, I've got a mode I kick over into. Y'all know what I mean? If you do that too, you go to snoring. Then Cheryl has to say, are you listening to me? I said, yes, honey, I'm listening. She said, what did I say? I said, I got it. Just keep. Oh, my goodness. The flesh. Is the flesh weak?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Do we all have a flesh?
Yes.
Yes, it is a weak beast, you know, but it's lots of fun. You know, just think, the weaker you feel, when you really realize how weak you are, that you're nothing. You can't do nothing. But when you pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, everything becomes possible. You can even have a lady in Romania that's been given the wrong blood and she ain't going to make it. She's going to die. There's no two ways about it. And you pray, and a few days later, just like Miss Carrie's husband's cousin, 1 week left in hospice and her life is over. Now, 2 months later, she's out running around having fun. It's more than just wonderful. It's wonderful to go to a church where people have testimonies.
Amen.
You know, I went to, do you have one? Are you just praising the Lord? Oh, you got a testimony too? Okay, come on up here. Praise the Lord. Come on, Bill. Praise God. I think it's still turned on, so.
You know, if you're not going to be able to be at this church, you ought to be out doing something for the Lord. Last week, we were not here, but we were down in Georgetown. But going down, had a little trouble with my brakes. I thought, oh, I hate, you know, I've got almost $500,000 on that car. And I thought, oh, I wish I could wait till I get rid of it. But it's not going to do that for me. So I found a place called Just Brakes. Well, I was there late Friday afternoon, and we were down there actually to see my Betty's grandson, his birthday the next day. So anyway, we made the trip down. We were going to spend the night with my sister, which we did, and she lives there in Georgetown. Well, anyway, went in this place, and there was a young man there and another lady, and I told them I had some brake problems, and they said, well, we'll check it out and let you know what it'll cost. And so they checked it out, told me, and I said, I guess we got to do it. You know, we got to fork over the money. So anyway, she had to go, and she left him in charge. He's 18 years old, and his name is James Bakari. And the reason I know his name is because I started talking to him. And while I was talking to him, it's amazing. You know, when you get somewhere and you hear a lot, and you hear this man talk about how he goes into Walmart, have any of you talk about how he's always going around talking about Jesus. Well, I'm in a Gideon's, and I know I'm supposed to. That's one of our jobs, is to get out and help change the lives of men, women, and children. We give these little Bibles. Well, it just so happened I had one of them with me in the back of the car. And as I talked to him, I thought, you know, the Lord spoke to my spirit, because I said, I've got something I want to show you. So I walked out in the back of the car and got my little New Testament Bible we give out to middle schools. So anyway, I walked back in and I said, James, I need to talk to you. I said, this is not just me, but I said, I feel that the Lord wants me to talk to you about yourself and your spiritual life. I said, do you go to church? He said, occasionally I, you know, go to the Catholic Church. And I said, mm-hmm. I said, well, how about your parents? He said, they're the same. They don't go much. And I said, well, I'll tell you, we're into some serious times. So let me talk to you a minute about you personally. And you're what counts today, because I'm talking to you, and I don't think this is an accident that I'm here. So anyway, I said, James, when we die, and we don't know when that'll happen, we can be pretty young, and something can happen, or we can be older, and I'm older than you are by quite a bit. But I said, let me tell you about something. If you've never made Jesus your Lord, you don't know that you're going to get to go to heaven, because you won't be able to, because he says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And I said, in the back of this little New Testament, there's some verses in here I'd like to show you. And I showed him the verses, and then I said, you know, James, it appears to me that you're open, but I'm going to ask you a question. Or do you think you'd be willing to accept Jesus as your Lord, knowing that he died on the cross for you? He looked at me and said, yeah. I said, okay. I said, then follow me in this prayer. So I took him through the prayer, sinner's prayer, as we know. And then I asked him the question. I said, do you believe that what you said you meant? He said, yes. I said, well, according to Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Word of God says you will be saved. And I said, that's the first important step, is to know that what you just told me a minute ago, and we agreed on, that you could be saved. So I want all of you to know, while I was gone, we couldn't be here, we got a new one into the kingdom. Okay?
Amen. Praise God.
Now, one other point, and it's in detail on here. Not before last, and Dave would know this man, Scott Darnell and his dad, Jim, have been to, they work together. They do graphics, drafting, and that type of thing, a lot of computer work. Well, as a matter of fact, they came here and purchased, I don't know if they had to purchase or not. I think they were given to them two computers that they could use, or one computer, I'm not sure. But anyway, Scott had a massive heart attack day before yesterday at 3:30 in the morning. And he's down in the hospital in Arlington, Betty? Okay, anyway, we need to pray for him because he's only 44. I mean, you know, that's pretty young. And they had to induce him in a coma because of the severity of what was going on with him. And then as of last night, he was going into a lot of fibrillation and he was shaking a lot. So we don't know how he's doing. But I prayed, of course, and today I wanted to mention him because we've got a big group right here. And I would like for all of us to pray over Scott Darnell, and I will lead the prayer if it's okay with everybody.
Amen. Go ahead.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, I want to do something a little different today.
Yes, Lord.
Thurman just got through saying a few minutes ago that we can come into the throne room anytime we want to. We come in the marvelous name of Jesus, the highest name of all. Today, at this moment, I'm asking, Lord, to bring this whole church through our vivid imaginations of how it can be if we just came up and went into the throne room where you are right now. And I'm just going to suppose that we're there at this very moment, and we're there, Lord, to make a case before the court of God that Scott Darnell be healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. We know the scripture says that John 15:7, if we abide in you and your words abide in us, we can ask anything, Lord, and we can have it. We know that Matthew 18:19, we've learned so well here. If any two are touching any one thing on earth, and they shall have what they ask for. And we ask for his total, complete healing of his heart and his brain and everything else that seems to be a problem at this time. He's a good man. He's a Christian man. He's full of laughter, full of joy. As any of us that don't know him, they could just imagine. He is as friendly as anybody you'll ever meet. Never heard him even utter anything but things that are positive. So, Father, as we're in the throne room today, I want to take authority over the enemy through any generational curse or any curse that could be coming through his mother or father. I remit those according to John 20:23, that there will be no curses placed upon him. And now I want to go back to generations above that, whether it be 5, 10, or 1,000 years back, through 100 generations, makes no difference. I'm going to plead the case, and I want Jesus, you're our emissary here. You are our attorney in this court.
Yes.
And because you spilt your blood for all of our sins, I'm asking you right now, in the name of Jesus, Father God, to let this event be solved and let this man be totally cured. Now, Satan, you're defeated. You have no recourse and you're not allowed anymore. You weren't allowed even at this time to put this curse on him. And just because you've got problems with him or any of us, that doesn't give you the right to do it. Because right now, I bind you, according to Matthew 18:18, on earth as it is in heaven, as we start off our Lord's Prayer, and our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, on earth as it is in heaven, your will be done. And Father, we thank you for your will in wanting this man healed. We thank you, Lord, for being able to open the courts of heaven up to us today, open to us, that we can come in, Lord, as our whole church here at this point in time. As we're in this throne room, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, because we know someday, Lord, when we cross over, we're going to be able to actually visually see everything that's going on in the court. And we thank you, Lord, for calling court today. And Lord, we know your time is different than our time, but I ask that now that court be in session and this be resolved today. And from this moment forward, he will have a total and complete healing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm in agreement with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That ought to get him healed. Don't y'all agree with that? All right. Let's go to 1 John 2, verse 1. Now let's open the Bible to 1 John 2. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. I'm going to write to you and tell you, you shall not sin. I don't know how I missed all this in the Baptist church, but like Dave was saying earlier, it's amazing how many times we have to read over things and we don't get it. How many times did I read over the part that sin brings forth death? And I didn't get it. Sin brings forth death, but he's in 1 John. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. So what is the goal for us?
Sin not.
No sin. No sin whatsoever. That you sin not. And if any man does sin, and unfortunately we do that, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So if we do sin, let me tell you, when you sin, and I have experienced this in my own life, that when you sin, even the slightest way to sin can open a door to the enemy. Whenever you read these scriptures, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ, the righteous. To give you an idea how quick and easy this can happen to you, I experienced this one time years ago. I was learning these principles about if I don't sin, no sickness or no devil can come up on me. And I was sitting in my office one day, back when I was still in the engineering world, and the general manager came up and handed me a piece of paper, and he said, Thurman, have you read this fax we just got? And I said, well, I don't know. Let me see it. And it said, if certain things were to happen, they were going to close the engineering division, which I was the head of it. I thought to myself, gee, here I am 50 years old. Gee, if they were to close the engineering division, what would happen to me? Now, do you see a sin in that? What is my sin? Oh, y'all are too smart for me. In other words, I'm not trusting the Lord. Is that right? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Now, if everything I do that's not of faith, Romans 14, 23, if everything I do that's not of faith, if it's sin, did I just sin?
Yes.
I did. I just sinned. That doesn't sound like a very bad sin, does it?
No.
But I sinned. Is sin sin?
Yes.
Anyway, when I made that statement, instantly, I'm sitting there just like I am right now. I was sitting there with a dry head, a dry nose, no headache, no nothing, everything, feeling perfect. And when I made that statement in one heartbeat, bam, I had a splitting migraine headache. Water, fluid running out of my nose down my chin, dripping off my chin, right out of my nose, sinus fluid. And that general manager looked at me and he says, what happened to you? Did a river just break loose in your head? Now then, he's not a spiritual man at all, so I just said, no, I'm okay. But I'm not okay. In other words, there is a demon sitting right there waiting to get you. And it don't take much for him to come in. That day I had no idea how simple it was. Although I'm learning these things, I'm reading these things, I had no idea that such a small little sin could open the door to make me go from feeling perfectly well to perfectly sick. But what I just done is what Dave just talked about a while ago. When he, in Galatians, he really talked about this the other day. I just fell from grace. That's what I did. In one heartbeat, I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking in grace. I have no sickness and no disease upon my body. I'm in perfect health. And one little statement. And that statement was not trusting God. And the devil was sitting right there with his cohorts, one or two or three of his demons. And I mean, just when I said that, instantly, just like that, he entered my body. My head was pounding. And that sinus fluid was just running out of my nose, onto my cheeks and my jaws and down onto the floor. So the general manager left. I give him back his fax, and he left. And now, what do you think the first thing I did? I repented. The first thing I did, Lord, I repent for not trusting you as my provider. Don't you think that'd be a good place to start? That's what I thought too. I thought, Lord, I repent. I repent. Then after that, I said, okay, devil, now then, you demons of hell that came into me, I knew what it was. A demon of hell, or maybe two or three of them, I don't know, but you can be assured they're sitting right there waiting for you to make a mistake. And they entered me. And I was sick. So after I repented, I commanded those spirits to leave me and to go away in the name of Jesus. But I didn't get no better. I didn't get no better at all. So I continued to do this. Every few, I said, devil, I said, I repented. You have no legal hold to me. You can't touch me. Because right there in these same scriptures where we're going to be a little later in John 4 and John 5, he said, my true children do not sin. They keep themselves from evil. And when you keep yourselves from evil, therefore the evil one cannot touch you. But I had sinned and he did touch me. And he got a good pound on me. Now then, I've repented of my sin, and I'm commanding him to leave, and he don't leave. So I sat around in my office a little while, and of course, I'm getting one Kleenex after another. I mean, I'm really cleaning the place up here. So anyway, I walked out of my office, and I walked down, and of course, as I walked through the plant, you know, I'm not a normal Christian. I'm the kind of guy that says, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking just like that. You know, you go by somebody or go sit down in the cafeteria and get you a drink or something and say, devil, I command you to come out of me in the name of Jesus. The people pick up their stuff and go to another place. They never seen anybody like you. But I had that happen so many times in my life, so that didn't bother me. So after that whole day, I was not getting any better. It doesn't appear. I'm like Dave was that time when Dave come to me after a year. He said, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. I'm not getting well. I said, Dave, repent. The only thing that makes God's word fail is you and me. And so I told him, I said, repent, repent. And so he said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry, I repent. And so, but it wasn't working. Same kind of deal with Dave. If I hadn't already known these principles with him, I would have never got him healed. But I continued. I went home that night, and when I got home, you know, even walking in the house, I said, you devil of hell, come out of me in the name of Jesus. Boy, and the fluid just running. Headaches just pounding. My wife said, what in the world is wrong with you? I said, I had a little encounter with the enemy today, and he made me sick. Of course, she watched me and listened to me for a little while we had dinner that night, and I'm blowing my nose and, you know, mopping up the floor where I'm dripping and all. I mean, she said, you've got the worst case of asthma I've ever seen in my life. I said, it's a demon. She said, I'm going to go get you some medication. I said, no, you're not. I said, no, this is a battle. This is between me and God and the devil, and I'm not going to let the devil beat me. I'm not going to go get no medicine. I'm going to kick that beast out in Jesus' name. Yes. So anyway, I went through the night, woke up two or three times, that stuff all over my pillow. I rebuked the devil. I'd done this for 4 days. 4 days, you know, you'd think after a day or two, you'd think, well, you know, this ain't working. But you know what the only thing that makes God's word fail? Us. That's exactly right. I mean, the promise is still there, isn't it?
Yes.
So whether it's working for me or not, don't mean any less than it's true. It's true. If God said it, whether I believe it or not, it's true, right? So I knew that. So every day, even when I go to work, on the way to work, I'm rebuking the devil. I command you, I have repented of my sin, all my sin. You devil of hell, you've got to come out of me. I'm not going to let you do this to me no more. In Jesus' name, I kept getting bolder and bolder and bolder. But he don't leave. That fourth day, I'll never forget that day. I got up that morning, and my whole face was covered with that fluid that leaked out of my nose, all brown looking fluid. It looked awful. I got up and washed my face with cold, warm water and washed it and dried it. I went out. My wife kept telling me, she said, if you just let me get you some medication. I said, no, this is an encounter with the enemy. I know now that I sinned. He couldn't touch me till I sinned. But when I sinned, he came in. I'm repented of my sin. I'm going to kick him out. So I got in my truck and I started to work that morning. And I was over on 35E, over here just about to 114. I'm driving down the road and I'm screaming by this time. You devil of hell, I have repented of my sin. You have no power and authority over me in the name of Jesus. I am commanding you to come out of me and leave me and go to the abyss. I am demanding. Now then somebody said, you know, I don't understand why we have to do it more than one or two times. I'll tell you, even Jesus, when he was in the garden with the demons, when he commanded them to leave, did he only have to command them to leave one time?
No.
Oh, if Jesus had to command them more than once, then what do you think we might have to do? Because I can assure you that mine and your faith ain't nowhere where his was. He was way ahead of us. But I know we got his kind of faith. And so I'm continuing. So I'm screaming. I'm quoting scripture like Luke 10, 19, and 20. I mean, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I'm quoting those scriptures. I'm quoting scripture that says I can cast out devils. I can heal the sick. And whatever I say in the name of Jesus has got to happen. I'm quoting, not just quoting, I'm screaming these driving down the road in my pickup. Then all of a sudden I said, now, devil, I'm going to quote Luke 10, 19, and 20 one more time. And I guarantee in the name of Jesus, you coming out of me and you're never going to enter me again because I'm not going to sin. I'm going to walk holy and obedient to God's word. I quoted all those scriptures. I said, now go. And when I screamed go, I reached over and hit the dash of my pickup as hard as I could hit it with my fist and said, I command you to get out of me and never come back in Jesus' name. Go. And when I hit that dash, just like that, all of a sudden my headache was completely gone. I was completely delivered. I was completely healed. Everything was perfect. And then I looked up and I sat back in my pickup. I'll never forget. I leaned back, put my head on the back glass, and I looked out there. And going through the clouds was a great big marquee. It says Matthew 11:12. What does Matthew 11:12 say? Anybody know? Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence. But the violent take it by force. Did I just do that?
Yes.
I said, Lord, I'm kind of like Dave was in that scripture a while ago. He said he read that hundreds of times or many times and never got the revelation. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I've read Matthew 11:12. I've read that so many times, but I never understood it till right now. But now I got it. So if you repent of sin, in other words, if you sin, you open a door for sicknesses to come in because it's caused by demons, and that's their job. Their job, as I've said, they're the police officers that are walking around this. They're right here with us today. These demons, just like good angels, they're right here. They're waiting for you and me to make a mistake. Just like when you drive down 35 out there, there's police officers out there. And those police officers are good guys. They're not demons. They're good guys, and they're out there. And their job, when they hire in, their job is to take care of you. But if you get to breaking a law, guess what they're going to do to you? If I go driving down the road out there, just like one of the guys I was driving down the road with the other day, riding with, He said, you know, isn't it amazing? He said, here we are running down the road and the speed limit is 70 miles an hour out here. He said, we're driving 70. People are passing us all over the place. And all of a sudden we come around the corner and there's a police officer up there and everybody hits their brakes except me. He said, I didn't have to hit my brakes because I ain't breaking the law.
That's right.
He said, why do people do that? People constantly live in a state of law breaking. And you want to know why you got a problem? Because you're constantly breaking the law. In fact, we just happened to talk about this. We hadn't talked about this in church in a long time. But right here, Cheryl and I went to dinner with a couple the other night. And on the way back, we got to talking about wives submitting to the husbands. And Cheryl said, yes, I had a problem. Now, this couple had never heard this. She said, I had a problem submitting to my husband, and it brought a pain in my body. And the woman says, what? And Cheryl said, yes. She said, well, I want to hear this. So Cheryl said, my daughter here a few years ago, she wanted to have some kind of a filler put in her face where she had some little tiny wrinkles. And so when Cheryl went over there and saw her daughter wanting to have this done, she come home and told me, honey, I got a little problem with my lipstick on my lips. So I want to have a little filler put in my lip. And I says, no. I said, no, absolutely not. She said, why? I said, because, honey, I said, I had been through all kinds of people I've prayed for, like women that have breast cancer or women that have breast implants, and then something goes wrong in there and it creates cancer or something. So I said, I don't want you to do that. I said, you know, to me, and I'm the only man in the world you need to be concerned about, but to me, you're beautiful, you know. I said, I don't care how much wrinkles you got on your face. You're still beautiful. You're always going to be beautiful to me because you're my wife. So I said, I don't want you to go out. I said, what if you were to go out there and have that implant put in and it were to turn sour and it caused some kind of cancer and then you had a big old thing come on your lip or it swelled up and made a big old knot. I said, I couldn't even kiss you then. I said, I mean, you know, I mean, both of you husbands, don't you kiss your wives? I kiss mine. I think she's kind of sweet, and I love to kiss her. In fact, she really makes me feel good when she says, you have the softest lips on any man I've ever kissed. So anyway, we have a lot of fun together. But anyway, you know, we were there in my office, and while we were talking about this, she's giving me all this trouble, and I'm saying, no. No. Yeah, she's down to begging, just like she said. She said, honey, please let me. I says, no. And all of a sudden, her center toe just pulls over sideways and just like the biggest, worst cramp you ever seen in your life. And she starts jumping. She jumps out of the chair, kicks her foot or her shoe off. She's, honey, pray. So I'm praying. I'm praying. And she said, honey, pray. It's getting worse. Pray. I said, honey, I am praying. I don't know why it's not stopping. She said, well, ask the Lord. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, why is this thing coming up on my wife? And just as clear as that quick, he said, your wife is not submitting to your authority. I said, honey, don't take this as an offense. Because, you know, this would be a perfect time, you know, for her to take this as an offense and get upset with me. She asked me to ask God what was the problem, and I asked him, and he told me. And when I said, honey, don't take it as an offense, but the Lord says it's there and that your toes are cramping because you're not submitting to my authority. She said, Lord, I repent. And guess what? In one heartbeat, the toe was totally normal, and she said, wow, it's not hurting at all. Whenever the next Sunday come, I said, that's a great testimony. I'd like to tell the church, but I'm sure you wouldn't want me to tell that. She said, no, absolutely tell it. She said, the women have got to know that God meant what he said when he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. She said, I've seen all kinds of women that won't submit and they got all kinds of problems. You know, sickness and disease and all kinds of things. So when we go to this scripture and he said, I'm telling you these things that you sin not. Why do you think God says sin not? Because he don't want you to suffer the pain and suffering that goes with sin. Sin brings forth sickness and disease. Sin brings forth death. just like that police officer I talked about just a minute ago. He's out there. There's lots of them out there on the highway. But if you're not breaking the law, will those police officers bother you?
No.
No. They won't hurt you at all. And all these men, I mean, I get so amazed at all these people, whether it be white or black, it makes no difference. Sin is sin. But when men go out and break into stores, like the problems we've been having between the white and the police, and the police are, I mean, people are saying, you know, these, I saw a deal on the news that blew me away. They killed a black man. He had a gun. He wasn't supposed to be where he was. He had broken into a store. And then all the other black people there were saying, you know, I can't believe these police officers killed this guy. He had a family. I thought to myself, if this guy was out working, if he wasn't carrying a stupid gun with him and he had been out working instead of breaking into a store, he wouldn't have to be worried about being dead today. What do we not understand? I don't understand us. I mean, I, white or black, you know, I could care less what color you are. All I'm saying, we got a set of rules in America. And if you break into a store, you're on my territory. You better hope that I'm not at home if I'm there. And if you break into my store or break into my house, you may die too, because I ain't going to look see what color you are. If you come in my house and you break into my house, I'm going to shoot you. I mean, am I crazy? I mean, I'm gonna protect my wife and my children and my grandchildren. But, you know, if you don't want to get shot at, don't come to my house and break in. Because I ain't going to go out there looking for you, but I am going to protect my property. And I think that we have completely lost this. We need to realize that the Scripture says that we are to obey God's law. And He says in His Word, every act of disobedience is judged. Now then, just think, if every act of disobedience is judged, who would have ever dreamed that whenever Cheryl started talking to me, wanting to put that filler in her lip, when I says, no, honey, no. And when she said, why? I said, because it could, you know, grow into something terrible, and I don't want it to happen, but I want to do it. And then, like she said, she got all the way down to begging. I want to do this. And I says, no. And then all of a sudden her toe starts pulling like crazy. And it was the center toe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the center toe on her right foot, man. It was just pulling over sideways. And that's when she started jumping around there and screaming, hollering, honey, pray, pray. I am praying, but it ain't working. Why is it not working? Why is my prayer not working? There's a sin. Yep. What is the sin? Disobedience. She's not submitting to her husband. The very second when I tell her, she didn't take offense, to praise God. So, I mean, as soon as I told her what it was, she said, Lord, I repent. That was the first words out of her mouth. Lord, I repent. And that's all she had to say. I'll do exactly what my husband says. And bam, the toe was normal in one heartbeat. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Cheryl said that the other lady that was with us, her legs started cramping. And she's... Yeah, at night. And so she said, you know, maybe you're disobedient to your husband. And she had never heard a story like that. You know, it's amazing that if you're not in the Bible a lot, you know, you tell a lady, a wife, that, you know, you're supposed to submit to your husband. Some of them say, I ain't doing that. You know, but then some men, we've got men too that can't get a prayer answered. And they never read the part right there with it. It says, now, husbands, you must love your wives like Christ loved the church. If you do not love your wife like Christ loved the church, I will not answer your prayer. So see, there's a heavy thing on both sides. The wife that don't obey, she's going to get a spanking from God. And who knows how that spanking is coming. And the husband that doesn't, you know, treat his wife like he's supposed to and love her, then something's going to happen to him. And what's going to happen to him, as a rule, God's just not going to answer your prayer. So the next time you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you start sliding on some wet ice or wet water or something and you start to slide across, you're fixing to hit an embankment, and you cry out, Jesus, help me! And you just had a fight with your wife. All of a sudden, nothing works. And the last thing you remember is when you hit that rail, broke the concrete and went over upside down into the water. Now, somebody says, but good things, bad things just happen to good people. I don't believe that. I believe the scripture says there's a cause for every curse. So anytime anything happens to you, the first thing you need to look at is, where did I sin? What did I do, Lord? And if you repent, will he forgive you?
Yes.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Every time. He don't ever. I mean, just with Cheryl's toe. The minute Cheryl said, Lord, I repent, bam, her foot was healed. I mean, that toe was normal. And she's walking around. I said, boy, did we both learn a lesson on this one. And of course, she said, yes, Lord, I learned something here. In other words, this is what he's trying to say. Wives, submit to your own husbands and everything. You think he meant that?
Absolutely.
Why is he writing all these things to us? I write these things to you that you sin not. Let's go to the next verse. Okay, yeah, let's go back to 1 John 2, I think we're on 2 or 3. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now think about Jesus. Think about his position. What if, there was 40 billion, or well, there's not that many people on earth, 40 million. Let's just say there was 40 million people on the earth that were having the same exact conversation that Cheryl and I was having, and the wife and the husband were not getting along. 40 million of them. How many of those women could have come and asked God to forgive them, and he forgive? Just, isn't that something? He is so big and so powerful. If 40 million people had that same problem and they cried out at the same time, just like Cheryl, when she said, honey, pray, when I asked the Lord what it was, and he told me, And then she said, Lord, I repent, I repent. And as soon as she said, I repent, she was healed. Now, how could he have done that for every one of those?
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's big enough to take care of all of our sins. You don't have to worry. But also for the sins of the whole world. That's kind of beyond me, that how he can do that. Verse 3, let's go to verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. In other words, when he tells us to repent for sin, did Cheryl and I do that?
Yes.
Yes, we did. And did he do what he said he would do?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Verse 4. We keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, what if I'd have been living in some kind of sin? What if I was doing something wrong? What if I just had any number of things you could have done wrong? And we went into that office, or I was in my office, and she come in there to ask me about that. And if I'm not walking in obedience to God's word, I'm saying I'm a Christian. But if I'm saying I'm a Christian, and then we have this little discussion, and it doesn't work, and he doesn't speak to me, and I don't get nothing, there's something wrong somewhere between me and God. And it might have been because me and Cheryl just had a fight the day before, and we hadn't repented. I know none of y'all ever done any of these things like this. I know y'all are all so sweet and good. You don't ever sin. He said he writes these things to us so we won't. Is that true? And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God. It is love of God is perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him, if we keep his word. Just think, you can tell who real Christians are, can't you? Those that obey him and keep his word, these people are the true sons and daughters of God. Verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walks. So now then, if you and me profess to be Christians, if you meet me on the street tomorrow, if I was in church today and, hey, I'm singing hallelujah, praise the Lord, and tomorrow I want to say, hey, Let me show you some pornography pictures I found on the internet last night after church. I got a problem. I say I'm a Christian in church, but my works don't show it on the other side. But how many people are there out there that live like this? A lot of them. A lot of them. That's what's so sad. It says, he that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. I ought to be just like Scott. When Scott said, when I said, I got some pornography pictures I want to show you, he said, he meant, get away from me. I don't want to see them. I know what that does to a man. It ruins a man. It brings sickness and disease into his body. I don't want nothing to do with that. So he's a true Christian. That's the way you can tell. You have to say it and then do it. We ought to walk even as Christ walked. He's our example. Next, verse 7. Let's see what verse 7 says. Brethren, I write no new commandments unto you, but an old commandment which we have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which we have heard from the beginning. So there's nothing new to this. Verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. The new commandments. As Dave was talking there a while ago to us about the old and the new, I don't understand what it is that we don't understand about Galatians. I was on GLC. They're Torah, totally lock, stock, and barrel. They believe in Torah. I used to be on GLC for 10 years. I was on GLC on a television three to five times a month. I taught the Word of God all over the world from GLC. But they finally took me off. And when I called them back and asked them why they took me off, he said, because you're teaching a lie. And I said, well, what's a lie I'm teaching? He says, you can eat anything. I said, that's not true. You have to go by Torah. Torah has a set of what you can and can't eat. I said, that's true. Under the law, that's where you live. But I don't live under law. I live under grace. So I have no limits, no legal. There's nothing. Everything is clean for me. Everything's legal for me. That's why I won't let anybody pray for you or teach in this church that don't believe the principles of the new kingdom. If you're hung up under Torah, you can't preach for nobody. You can't preach in this church. You can't teach in this church. You can't pray for nobody in this church. Do I make that clear? If you're going to tell somebody, I'm hung up on what Paul says, or I'm hung up on what James says, or I don't believe this because the Torah says I have to eat this, so I can't believe what the New Testament says. I can't have you preaching to people that's preaching a lie. Because just like when I was out there at GLC, one of the men, there's four of them on the set with me, and I'm five. On the set, over the air, they asked me a question. Does God do miracles through your ministry, Thurman? I said, every day. Every day. I see miracles all the time. What? You really see miracles? I said, absolutely. I said, the scripture clearly says under law, God don't do any miracles under Galatians. But he does them because of faith. Not law, faith. If I'm walking in faith, I have no requirements. If I'm walking under law, I've got all kinds of requirements. So I don't live there. They said, well, could you give us an example? And so I began to tell them. I have no problem telling you. I got testimonies, all kinds of testimonies every day. And those of you that walk in this same place with me, you've got testimonies. You started walking in and you got healed. Yes, it pays good dividends, doesn't it, Paula?
Absolutely.
Living under law, you didn't get healed under law.
No, sir.
You got healed under grace.
Yes, sir.
You got healed under the goodness of God.
Absolutely.
But you had to repent of your sin.
Yes, sir.
And stop doing what you were doing. So anyway, as I talked to those boys, started telling them about miracles, they were blown away. I said, then I asked a question. Well, why don't y'all tell me a testimony? Yeah, I mean, and y'all are, you know, we're believing in Torah. We believe, you know, that the old covenant's the way to go. Let's hear some testimonies. Let's hear some miracles. They didn't have one, not one. Not one. I could have sat there and talked about them all night long. One of the men come to me after the show was over, that 2-hour live show, when it was over, he comes to me and said, "You talk like you see miracles all the time." I said, "Well, I do. If you live in grace and live under the grace of God, you can see testimonies at the shop, can't you, Mike?
Every day."
Every day. When you learned. In other words, the old way you had used to under law, you didn't see no miracles, did you? You couldn't even get healed yourself. But when you stepped over into the grace of God and started believing the truth of the Word of God and the New Covenant, then his lovely bride prayed one simple prayer for him, and Mike got healed of a 20-year back problem. Wasn't it about 20 years? Something like that. You see what I mean? You got to live under grace. And under grace, there is no sickness. Now, there's lots of people will tell me, "I don't believe this," but that's just like that testimony I told y'all last week, that pastor from Mississippi, I believe it was, that contacted me last week and told me about that woman that in his church that came down with breast cancer. She went to the hospital and they gave her chemo treatments. And after the chemo treatments, several of them, she got into remission. She's under law. Don't even know she's under law. She's supposed to be living under grace, but when she committed her sin, she fell from grace, fell back under the law, and she went and she had got sick with breast cancer, and they gave her chemo until she got in remission. And then they told her to come back in 6 months and they'd check her again. And Miss Carrie, that's kind of like your case, where yours was down to a week. When she went back in, I believe they told her, they checked her and said, "Wow, the cancer has come back and you have about 3 weeks maybe to live." So she said immediately, and I heard that, I was on the fifth floor of the hospital. I wanted to just go over and open the window and just jump out and kill myself. But then I thought, you know, no murder has eternal life, so I sure ain't gonna kill myself. So she said, she went to the pastor and told him the situation. He said, "I've been listening to Thurman for 6 years. So he said, "I knew what to do." So I told her, "We got to find your sin." And she said, "Well, you know, I go to church all the time. Every Sunday I'm here. I tithe. I walk in love. I have no bitterness toward nobody. I don't sin for as I know. I'm a good woman." So somebody would say, "Well, you know, surely this woman wouldn't be sick with cancer." But he says, you know, Thurman tells us, because he got it out of the Bible, that the curse causes cannot come to rest. You have to have a sin or you can't get cancer. There's got to be a sin. She said, "Well, I have no idea what it is. Would you please ask the Lord what my sin is?" And he said, "I asked the Lord," and the Lord immediately told her. Said, as soon as I asked the Lord and thanked him for telling her, she screamed and jumped and said, "Oh my God, he just spoke to me and he told me that the reason I'm dying is because the gifts he's given me, I'm not using them for his glory." She said, "The Lord had given me a beautiful voice to sing, and I used to sing in church all the time. And when I got older, I quit." And then she said, "He gave me a great ability to teach a Bible study class, and I did it for years. And then when I got older, I quit. He gave me several years. I haven't sang or taught for several years. So now he's taking me home." So that's just like that scripture says, John 15:2, "Every branch in me that bears no fruit, I cut it off." That's scary too, isn't it, Miss Jackie? So anyway, she said, "Ask the pastor, what can we do then? I don't want to die yet." He said, "Well, again, I learned this from Terman's teachings. If you don't want to die, repent of your sin. Repent. Ask God to forgive you." Did he say he'd forgive you?
Yes.
Isn't that a wonderful God?
Yes.
So she asked the Lord to forgive her, said, "Lord, I will go back to singing. I will go back to teaching your word. I will do what you say, and I will use it for your glory. But Lord, I'm not ready to die yet. I'm not old enough to die. I want to live a few more years." So they went back to the doctor and checked her. Not a cancer cell in her body. Woo-hoo. Totally, completely healed. Can God put it on you real quick?
Oh, yeah.
Can he take it off the same way?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, there's no problem. So the secret to all this is what? walking. Why are we talking about all this today? That you, we're teaching you these things so that you sin not. If you don't sin, in other words, if you don't go out there and speed, is that police officer going to stop you? No, he's not going to stop you. He's going to let you go right on by. You have to be breaking the law. I mean, I've been driving and I've been living and going places and traveling all over the world for years, years and years and years and years, 40, 50 years I've been working and traveling. And I've been all over, I've been amongst all kinds of police officers in all kinds of cities and meetings with them and everything else. And I've never met a bad one. I never met one that wanted to haul me in. I never met one wanting to give me a ticket unless I was speeding. I used to. I did get some tickets when I was a dumb kid. But some of you other guys, y'all were just as dumb as I was, so don't you say nothing about me. For it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah, so you, some of you girls have done the same thing. Yes. Yeah, I know some of you sweet girls are not quite as sweet as you thought you were. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Just think. That's just like a man right here on this front row. Just a few years ago. I was sitting right here or right there. I forget which one. He came out here with terminal cancer. And when I told him, I said, sir... And he was a preacher, too. He was a preacher and a seminary professor. And I told him, I said, you got a sin in your life. That's why you got this sickness. He said, you believe all sin is all sickness is associated with a sin? I said, yes, I do. Because it says so in the scripture. I said, usually cancer is bitterness or unforgiveness. Oh, my gosh. I said, do you have unforgiveness towards someone? He said, my father. I hate him. What did this say? What did he say? Isn't that something? I said, you have to forgive him. He said, Thurman, he used to beat my mother. I hate him. I said, well, if you don't let him kill you, go ahead. But I said, if you don't want to die, you're going to have to forgive him. He said, well, I ain't ready to die yet. I think he was only 65 or something like that. He wasn't too old. So he forgave. I said, okay, now that you've forgiven, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to break that curse over you. And I said, you're going to live. Guarantee it. God, my God, I know what he'll do. When you repent and I pray for you, he'll heal you. So he said, well, I got an appointment next week with MD Anderson. I said, well, okay, let me tell you something. You go to MD Anderson and you let them check you. Whatever the diagnosis is, and it's probably going to still be there. I said, so God's going to test you. But I said, you just don't let them do nothing. Don't let them give you no medication. Don't, whatever you do, for God's sake, don't let them give you no chemo or radiation. I said, they may tell you if you don't take it, you're going to die within a month or 2 months. I said, but trust God. You have to learn to trust God. If you want to see God do something, you got to trust him. Yeah, all the way. It's written in the book. James 1, 6, and 7, you must trust me, you must believe with no doubt in your heart. If you don't, you're unstable and double-minded in all your ways, and let not that man think he'll get anything from the Lord. So I said, go down there. So he went down there, and when he got back, he said, well, just like you said, next Sunday, he said, I went down there, and they checked me, and they said, terrible, terrible, terrible. I got to have chemo and radiation both, and even probably some medicine to go with it. I'm in such bad shape. So I said, what'd you tell them? He said, I told them I ain't taking nothing. I'm going to trust Jesus. He said, they told me I'm crazy. He said, no, I met a pastor, showed me his word. And he said, I've seen that guy get people healed. So he said, I'm going to trust Jesus. Well, the renowned, world-renowned doctor said, well, okay, if that's what you're going to do, come back in 6 months if you're still alive, and we'll check you and see where you're at. So he came to church for all those months. Looked great. Didn't see nothing wrong with him. You've seen him?
Yeah.
Yeah, seen him. He's come sit right here on the front row, him and his wife and, I mean, daughters and kids and all kinds of stuff. And after 6 months, he said, well, I'm going back to MD Anderson tomorrow for another checkup. I said, okay. I said, you've been believing God. You didn't take no medicine or no nothing, right? He said, that's right. Not a thing. Just trust in Jesus and praise him for my healing. Come back the next Sunday and said, boy, Thurman, that world-renowned doctor, when he got through checking me, he said, well, Weston, the guy's name was Weston. He said, Weston, I don't know what you're doing, but you better patent it and bottle it because it will sell. He said, what do you mean? He said, there's not a cancer cell in your body, nowhere. That's been several years ago. He even wrote a book about his healing and all kinds of stuff. But he got healed of that cancer. But see, you got to know how it works and do it God's way. If you do it God's way, he always answers your prayer. You got to walk in love. You got to walk in love, just like he says there. So he says here, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. See, that man said he was a Christian. And he might have been, but he was in darkness. He was living in darkness because he hated his dad. When he forgave his dad, he came into the light. And in the light, there's healing. Verse 10. Let's see what verse 10 says. He that liveth, or he that loveth his brother, abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. If you're walking in the light, you're walking in love, you're walking in grace. You don't have to worry about sickness and disease unless you haven't learned how to control your mouth. Your tongue will kill you. If every time you, and I've seen it, I've been in churches, all kinds of churches, I walk up to some man or some woman, especially after they get a little older, you know, when they pass 50. Walk up and shake hands with them. How you doing? Here's a 50-year-old. Oh, Thurman, I didn't know if I was going to make it this morning or not. I'm sure getting old. Can't hardly make it no more. Wow, how old are you? Oh, what really got me, that one young lady one day, she was so old. And she said, I'm never going to get married. I'm going to be an old maid. I said, how old are you? Pastor Scrivener, I could never tell you how old I am. I said, now, wait a minute. You don't look that old. How old are you? She said, will you not promise not to tell anybody how old I am? I said, I promise. How old are you? She said, 38. Wow. Oh. I said, I feel so sorry for you. 38 years old. I feel so sorry for you. You see, our mouth gets us in trouble. I don't know about you, but I ain't old. You know, I'm a ball of fire, you know, and I'm still going to be a ball of fire next Sunday, too. When you see me next Sunday, I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. Wow. Okay. Are we going to take communion?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get ready for communion. I think it's just about that time, right? Yeah, 4:00. We'll take communion. We'll pass it out. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We got a healing school next Saturday. Healing school next Saturday. Do what, honey?
1:00.
1:00. Yeah, 1:00 next Saturday. We got a healing school. And then we only got a couple of weeks after that. We're going up to Lansing, Michigan, or close to Lansing, Michigan. Yeah, and we're going to teach up there for me and Jeff and Dave. All of us are going to teach. Jeff's going to teach a little. Dave's going to teach a little. And I'm going to teach a little. We got two nights. So we're going to. At the fairgrounds. Yeah, we're going to. Praise the Lord. Ain't no telling what's going to happen. Yeah, we might do one of those get the revival thing going, and we might have to stay up there for 6 months or something. You know, you can't ever tell what God might do. Wow, wow, wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, goodness. Aren't you glad you're living under grace and not under law? Don't get under law. If you break those commandments, you will fall from grace and get under law. And there's where the devil has legal right to you. And there's where you get sick. So you don't want to be there. It's so easy to fall from grace. You do not want to fall from grace. Just like Dave said, you want to. Dave's really getting a hold of that. Like he said, you know, when he first heard me start teaching these things years ago, he didn't agree with it. But when he kept studying and going, he finally realized, hey, that's what it says. That's what it says. Praise the Lord. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we invite you to take communion with us. All you need to do to take communion is be a Christian. If you're a Christian, you need to take communion. Praise the Lord. I have been to churches. In fact, I went to a church up in New York one day. And first time I'd ever seen it done They passed out a loaf of bread, and you pinched off a piece of bread off of the loaf. It, in other words, it had leaven in it. And I got to wonder, I thought, you know, this is the first time I've ever been to a church. The Baptist church didn't do that at all. Man, we used unleavened bread, just like we use unleavened bread. And then I remembered when I came back one day, I had a friend call me. He said, you should have been at communion in Lakeland Baptist Church last Sunday. I said, what happened? He said, we saw something happen we've never seen before. I said, well, what happened? He said, Dr. N. Smith, which I know him very well, he was doing the communion, and he took the bread, had it over on the communion table and everything, and he walked over here like this with a piece of it in his hand, and he points at the loaf of bread and says, now that is the body of Christ. When he did, the loaf of bread rolled off of that table onto the floor. Nobody's touching it. He didn't understand what was going on, so they went over there, somebody went up there and picked up the bread and put it back on the table. And he's talking about it again. And when he's talking about it again, all of a sudden, the loaf of bread rolls off on the floor again. So Ben says, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And he said, son, that's not my body. He said, the Lord's talking to me. He said, that body, that's got sin in it. That's not me. So he, wow. He didn't understand. He didn't get it. So anyway, when these guys told me about it, I called him. I said, hey, Brother Ben. I said, the boys told me about the communion table. I said, tell me about that. So he did. He told me all about that. And as he did, I'm sitting there thinking about this, and I thought, now how in the world did a sheet of unleavened bread roll off on the floor? And so when I asked him, he said, did you get it, Thurman? I says, when you said the loaf of bread rolled off on the floor, I said, I guess I lost everything after that. I said, can you explain to me how a sheet of unleavened bread, flat, with no leaven in it at all, how it rolled off of the communion table onto the floor? He said, my God, that's what he's talking about. I was using a loaf of bread, French bread. There's leaven in that. I said, you were using a loaf of bread for communion bread? He said, yes, but he said, I guarantee I won't never do it again. Did you say, that was 3 months from the time it happened until it got around to me, and I called him back, and when we talked about it 2 times before it soaked in on him what God was trying to tell him. That's not me. This is me. I'm unleavened. How much sin is in him?
None.
How much sin, how much yeast is supposed to be in this bread?
None.
That's why it's so flat. This is his body. Are we all passed out? Not quite? Okay. But that was quite an interesting day that Ben and I had that little discussion. The sheet or the loaf of bread. Can you imagine talking about that? And the communion table sitting out there in the middle of the floor. Huge church. Lakeland Baptist Church. Great. I went there for 20 years. Big old church. But that loaf of bread just rolls off on the floor. Just bam. They get up and put it back up on there and it rolls off again. Somebody says, there's got to be some wind or something blowing that. No, I got news for you. There's an angel there pushing that off on the floor. I can see the Lord say, now, that's not me. We're ready. Father, we thank you for the bread that's the symbol of the body of Christ, that he died for us. He bore our sickness and removed our disease. And by his stripes, we are healed. Thank you for the bread. In Jesus' name, amen. And we eat the bread. The most powerful thing in the universe, the blood. The blood, as we just read, is powerful enough to forgive the sins of the whole world. Anybody can come to Jesus at any time and just say, Lord, I believe. Will he forgive you?
Yes.
Will he bring you into his kingdom?
Yes.
It don't matter what you've done. You have to believe in Jesus by faith. Now, if you don't believe by faith, you won't be saved. You have to believe it truly by faith. So next time somebody asks you, are you a Christian? You got to say, yes. How do you know it? It's written in the Bible. I believe with all my heart. I am saved. I'm born again. And the day's going to come, and it could be coming not too distant, that when somebody will come to you and say, if you say, don't deny Jesus, we're going to kill you or your children. That's coming to America in the not too distant future. Be ready to die for your faith. Is that something? But that's coming. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. It's amazing what's happening in America. Amazing what's happening in the world. I watched Hal Lindsey the other night. I think Hal's about 80 years old himself. And he said, folks, we're there. What the scripture teaches, we're there. So he said, get ready. Jesus is coming soon. And I believe he is too. I don't believe it's going to be long. So just like Paul Crouch, before Paul Crouch died, he was on the show one day, and I saw him. He said, Lord, you got to tell me. I got pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, everything here, teaching everything. So I got to know the truth. Which one is right? And the Lord spoke to Paul and says, Paul, just tell them all to stay ready. Stay ready. So he said, I believe that the rapture is going to come. We're going to get a pre-trib rapture. Well, for him, he was 100% right. He's 3 years ago, he went on to be with Jesus. He got a pre-trib rapture. His wife went home this last year. She got a pre-trib rapture. And I believe I'm going to get a pre-trib one day. I don't know. Of course, may not. So I don't know. But I know one thing. When I do close my eyes in death, I know where I'm going. I have no fear of that. Do you, Miss Paula?
No.
We know the same Jesus that healed you, he's going to take you home one day, right? And if you walk in obedience to his word, you won't have to worry about going home sick. Father, we thank you for being our God and our Lord and our Savior and our healer, our deliverer, our provider, everything, Lord. You're everything. Help us to walk holy and obedient to your word. Help us to produce fruit for the kingdom of God this week. Let us be about your business. Let us tell people about Jesus. Like Bill, you know, Lord, Bill and Jerry told some people about Jesus this life. Lord, let us be like these men that'll talk about you to others, because we know we're supposed to be producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to produce fruit for your kingdom. We want to be obedient sons and daughters. So, Father, thank you for blessing us the way you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.